My first guest today is Beth Kennedy Jones. Beth is a Santa Fe-based actor and director, and she's directing a play called Salt and Pepper that opens tonight at Teatro Paraguas. Beth, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me, and thank you, Diana.
Salt and Pepper is a collection of seven intertwining stories that explore themes of aging and loss, love, all kinds of things we experience when we're at a more mature age in life. What drew you to the play originally?
Well, Robert Benjamin is a playwright here, a former Los Alamos scientist, and he had approached me about directing the reading of it, which we did last February. And from that point until now, what has developed is that I really realized that this is my work at this time.
Directing?
Well, directing, yes. I mean, I've been directing for a long time, but being involved with pieces, I see theater and film as being incredible tools to help people. And the way that I see that the need at this point, this age, is to help people shift into understanding better concepts about themselves and about what they're going through. I think that, you know, we're given so much education when we're younger, and then we kind of told to, okay, now figure out the rest of it. And I can remember hitting that time frame, you know, late 40s, early 50s, recognizing I didn't care about getting older. I just didn't know what older was supposed to be, and yet definitely understanding that there's a shift. I have a lot of children, and they span this wide range. The eldest is 37, the youngest is 18, and just the things that, looking at myself as a person, as a mother, and the changes that I went through and how I viewed life differently as I got older, how things became more important or less important, you realize, you know, we shift, and we get to a certain point where there's almost that feeling of, well, I guess it's over.
It's kind of ignored in our culture, this I don't know, phase in life.
Yeah, and it should be our finest hour, because we have all this knowledge. You know, there's a phrase in the first scene of tonight's play, and it talks about the chronologically gifted. And that's what we are. We've had all these seasons. And so we should be at our finest hour, and yet so much of society, certainly a lot of magazines, TV shows, everything is basically, if you don't look a certain way or if you're not a certain age, you know, you are invisible.
Invisible, yeah.
Invisible. So for me, and it's interesting, when I was younger and in New York and seemed to be getting a lot of attention, and there was always this talk, oh, you're going to be famous, you're going to be famous. And I thought, I have no interest in fame, although at this point I think that fame is a fabulous thing. You can do wonderful things for organizations. I produced over 100 events in Washington and New York and around the country. And if you could get somebody famous on your list, your board, whatever, or just to come to an event, you could raise more money for the organization that you were trying to support. So fame is a great thing used properly. But fame never really drew me. But what I find at this point, this total excitement about being a part of helping in this shift for how we see ourselves and others as we continue to grow, or as I say, as we put on seasons, you know. So I see this as a very exciting thing. So I was drawn to Robert. Robert certainly was drawn to my directing, and we've been working on this, and we're doing this fully staged production.
With a cast of local
actors?
10
people. They're all local, although most of the actors have New York or Chicago or L.A. credits. They're all very good. We have Deborah Dennison in our cast, Tone Forrest, who's also known as being a musician here in Santa Fe, Larry Gleister, Jennifer Graves, Deborah Hayden, my dearly beloved Tad Jones, Carrie Kehoe.
And I saw them all in the rehearsal.
Yeah. Fran Martone
very,
is in it.
Very, very good actors. Great writing. And it's very touching. I cried at one point during the rehearsal. Definitely laughed. I mean,
yeah. Well, you saw Fran's piece. And Fran is actually in two pieces. And it is. It's very, very moving. We have a lot of really wonderful, strong women in this, too. And
agreed.
How they're approaching this issue, whether it's their own aging or the aging of those that they love around them. You know, how to help them, how to support them. You know, I have to recognize that Rick Vargas is in our cast, and then the fabulous Elena Warren Zachary And we just don't have aging actors. We also have Skip Rappaport is doing the lighting. But we have two young people that are great. Alexa Landris, who's a student at St. John's, is running the board.
Oh, nice.
And I happened to meet her at my part-time job at La Casa Sena and got to talk with her, and she just wanted to get involved with theater, so she's really, really helping out. And Tommy Robinson from Capital High School. He's a senior, and he's running the stage. So.
And their theater program, of course, is outstanding.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So,
do you think the play appeals to people of all ages?
I think it does, and it certainly should. I mean, if we're not there yet, we're all aging. Let's face it, the alternative to aging is no fun.
It's true.
So we're all doing it, and why not do it, as it says, with courage and grace and humor? You know, it's maturing, and it's a great thing. But there's not a lot of information out there on how to, as far as, you know, when we see something in theater or film, we can really... We can look at it, we can see it, we can see ourselves in it, and hopefully we can come to a better understanding of how we want to approach it.
And the play does, in the different vignettes, it shows people going through losses or facing difficult situations that are probably, I would think, pretty common to people when we do reach that stage in life, and yet we don't think about them in advance, and they're very similar to what we go through at a younger age, too. I mean,
we all kind of feel like, I shouldn't say we all. So much of our population looks as if aging is not our choice. You know, the curtain call is the Beach Boys. Wouldn't it be nice when we are older? You know, so when we're younger, obviously, we look at it, we want to get old. But then we want it to stop. You know, somewhere in our 20s or early 30s, we want it to stop. Instead of saying, no, I want to gain years. I want to gain understanding. I want to gain perspective.
Wisdom. Yeah. Perspective, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Did we mention that the show is tonight? We're running 8 shows. We're running tonight, Friday night, and then, of course, it'll be next Friday night. The Friday night shows are at 7:30, and Saturday evening shows, which is this Saturday and next Saturday, will be 7:30. And then we have 2 matinees each weekend. A Saturday and Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. So this Saturday, Sunday, next Saturday and Sunday. It's at Teatro Progress, which is at 3205 Calle Maria, which is in the little office park behind Home Depot. And the phone number there is 424-1601. We really encourage people to get reservations.
That's what I was going to say. Do you make reservations?
Yes.
If they want more information, people can visit... A website, I assume?
Yep, the website is www.teatroparagus.org. And it's listed in the Pasta Tempo today, and it's in the Santa Fe Reporter. I mean, it's all over the place.
Well, I wish you great luck tonight. Break a leg, I should say.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on Sunday and seeing our tech.
And
it's always
fun. I would
love
to come back, and I think I will.
Please, let me know.
Okay. Thanks so much,
Thank you.
And we've been talking to Beth Kennedy-Jones, director of the play Salt and Pepper, that opens tonight at 7:30 at Teatro Paraguas, as we've just said. We will be right back after this break. And we're back with the Radio Cafe. I'd like to welcome our next guest, Iman Aoun. Iman is an actor and the director of the Ashtar Theater in Ramallah, Palestine. She's in northern New Mexico for 5 weeks as a CEC ArtsLink Fellow, and she'll be speaking about her work using theater as a tool for social change in Palestine and other places this coming Tuesday at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, starting at 7:30. Iman, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You are the director of the Ashtar Theater, which is in the Palestinian territories, and you do a lot of work for social change, especially with women and children. Am I right?
True. Ashtar Theater was founded in 1991 in Jerusalem and the West Bank. Our work takes place in all over the West Bank and Gaza Strip, as well as, of course, Jerusalem. We train young people to become semi-actors and prepare them to go into theater schools and theater academies. As well, we have a second program which is very much community-based, and it is the Theater of the Oppressed. In Theater of the Oppressed, we work with many different groups, young people, women, and the general public. We put performances that are tackling issues that are very hot topics and that are usually taboos and unspoken of, i.e. The honor killing or violence, domestic violence or bullying or drug addiction, etc., etc. We've been using theater of the oppressed since 97 in Palestine, and we are the center for theater of the oppressed in the Middle East.
Can you remind us what theater of the oppressed involves? I know it's theater for social change,
mm-hmm.
and it's interactive. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Theater of the oppressed comes and developed in Brazil by Augusto Boal, a late Brazilian director. And the main aim is to give voice to the voiceless and to try and make the audience participatory in all the artistic event, and not only recipients but also interact with the actors on the stage in order to think democratically about issues that are presented on the stage, to find collective solutions and also to be more engaged in the problems, the issues, the legislative sometimes problems, because in theater of the oppressed you have 7 branches, not only one.
Okay.
So forum theater, which is the interactive performance, is one of them. But there is image theater, legislative theater, where you tackle problems of legislations,
mm-hmm.
And we try to make differences, and we try to bring the voice of the people to the legislators in order to make a real change in the laws.
Through performance?
Through performance, absolutely. Like nowadays, we have a performance that tackles the issue of domestic rape by siblings or parental, etc. And we try to give the audience all the rules and regulations that are worked according to this issue.
Uh-huh.
And where the problems lie, and so we invite the audience to think aloud, what should be different, and where has to be the change, and therefore we take it, and then we bring it to the legislators' table in order to see according to the research in the society how many people have brought new ideas for the legislators, and where they think that there is something wrong in the rules, and where the change should lie.
Is it also entertaining? Which sounds like a strange question. Is it theater performance as I think of going to enjoy a play?
It's a good question, because in the beginning, and it's theater. So theater of the oppressed is about theater, and theater has to be somehow interesting, appealing, visually attractive, and also somehow entertaining, because it depends how you tackle the issue.
Right.
Sometimes, very difficult issues, you could make it more dramatic, but sometimes difficult issues, you could also make them satiric.
True, right.
Yeah. So we tend to be very visual and very appealing for the audience to follow.
You are here in northern New Mexico, as I said earlier, on a five week fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you're doing here. I understand you're doing some work with Native Americans.
True.
Among other things.
Yes. Well, the reason I'm here, my first initial application for ArtsLink was that I want to come here and work with Native Americans, because I see many similarities between Palestinians and Native Americans in terms of colonization and in terms of oppression,
mm-hmm.
and in terms of social inhibitions.
Interesting.
And so the history that we live as human beings keep repeating itself, as if we do not learn ever from history. And this makes me stop and think and try to find ways where we could really learn from our experiences and where we could be a good model for others, because we as artists we're supposed to be somehow the light at the end of the tunnel, and therefore my presence here is also to learn more about the deep culture of the Native Americans, that I have very much respect for that, because they were able to maintain throughout the centuries, and to see how they were able to keep their strength and to keep their identity and to keep their culture alive. And I know that they are facing lots of problems and lots of oppression, because in the end, the oppressor internalizes these symptoms of the oppression and becomes oppressors themselves. Because the most oppression that we are facing, we become oppressors, like in the occupation, the Israeli occupation on Palestine, are oppressive for all the Palestinians, but maybe mostly oppressive to the men who encounter, but the men are oppressive to the women.
In turn, in their life.
And the women are oppressive to the younger people, and so it's a cycle of oppression and a cycle of violence that never ends. And so, where to stop this? Where to end this? Where to face the real situation with clear eyes? And stop this vicious circle. So this is mainly my research in the theater, and this is why I try all the time to give ways and possibilities for our young people to have a different point of view, and also to stop being in this world. And
in the cycle
of violence, and stand out and be more imaginative and have more hope and be more creative, because through creativity you could always find new solutions for the oppression and for the violence that we are living in.
Are you going into the pueblos and teaching people these techniques, or working on productions with them, or are you?
Yes, at the moment I am working with the Indian School of Santa Fe, or
great.
Santa Fe Indian School.
Yes,
with the 12th graders, and there is a class that is called a class for social change. And I'm really grateful for the school to have me, and for Mr. Anthony Dolme, who had invited me to his class, as well as I'm also indebted for many other groups like the Women Community Foundation, who are also inviting me to give workshops tomorrow and after tomorrow for a group of community people.
And those are workshops you'll be teaching them, some of the techniques of
theater of the oppressed. Yes, absolutely. And my hope is to come out with to enhance their stories and to encourage them to look at their stories in an interactive way, and to raise their voice and to approach the spectators and to become spect actors, which is a terminology in the theater of the oppressed, where the audience become more involved in the production. So they're not only recipients, but they are active participants of what is going on stage. So that is the hope, where everybody would find a share in the collective and the personal story, and they would think together of embetterment of the problems raised.
Do you expect people to come out of a production or a play with a solution, or more
solutions, I would say, and not solution, because there are different points of views, but we learn also to respect in the forum performances, we respect the other points of views, and every point of view is accepted, because and there is a space for every point of view to be tested out on stage. And so whether it is different than mine or alike, that doesn't matter, but everyone has the right to speak up, everyone has the right to test for herself or himself what they think, and then the debate, the collective debate, would arouse and would help the people to make new realizations or different.
Will you be doing? You'll be speaking at, as we said, at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design on Tuesday, and we'll talk more about. I'll give the times and more information at the end of our talk. But will you be doing any other productions or? Examples of this that the public could come to see while you're here.
Well, today I'm working with the dance group of the art school,
New Mexico School for the Arts.
For the arts, exactly.
Talented and kids there.
Absolutely, and I've seen their show, and it was amazing. And Adam is such a good choreographer and director, and so as I said. Tomorrow and after tomorrow, I'll be working with a group of maybe 36 people who had enrolled, and I'm very excited, and I wait to see and to learn also from the people, because I'm here to learn, not only to give knowledge, but also to take knowledge. I'm also working with the Moving Arts Española.
That's Roger Montoya's
group. Roger Montoya, exactly, and Salvador. And I'm doing a small thing with La Tierra group of grade 7, where they are going to perform in December, but I'm helping them establish like the nuclear of or the nucleus, let's say, of a big show that they're going to do. But so that is very exciting as well. And Moving Arts Española are my hosts in
for the 5 weeks.
For the 5 weeks, as well as DNA, Daniel Banks and Adam.
DNA Works. Are they DNA based? They're based in New York.
DNA Works, yes, started in New York, but now they are here in Santa Fe, and they work in both places. And thanks to Daniel Banks, who knew me from Theater Without Borders conference in New York, and he was the one to find me my residency here in New Mexico. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been here. But so,
when
I'm
did
really
you
glad.
Arrive?
3 weeks ago.
Okay, so you've got a couple more weeks here.
Absolutely,
with us.
Yeah. And it has been enchanting. You know, New Mexico is beautiful. The people are marvelous. The sun is wonderful. I like it a lot here. And I hope that I'll be back also through ArtsLink, because I hope to come back and work on a deeper production with the Santa Fe Indian School that I'm also going to invite them, and they are already, I invited them to come to Palestine next year in June, between 20th and 30th of June, because we have an international youth theater festival where young people from all over the world come and live for 10 days together and produce a new show and perform their own performances as well in the West Bank. So
I hope they do that. I hope they can go there and learn with you in your
home. Well, this is the aim. The goal of the CEC ArtsLink project is to really create strong bridges between our cultures, and I believe it's time for Palestine and for the U.S. to have deeper connection and more productive knowledge between not only on the arts level, but also on the political level, because we strive for more political justice from the U.S., because we know that the U.S. is a strong country that that could do a lot, and we aspire a lot from it. And I know that the people here, they really are very very good-hearted and very helpful. Maybe they are not as much informed, because the media doesn't always make justice for our cause.
Right. Well, we're very glad to have you here in Northern New Mexico, and thanks for bringing what you do.
Thank you.
And sharing it with us and our students and our young people. I'll remind people that Iman will be speaking at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design's Tifton Auditorium this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. Earlier we said 7:30.
Yes.
That's not right. It's 7. I said it probably. This event is free, but please do make a reservation. And you can call 866-394-6033, or you can email info@dnaworks.org. And your workshops are this weekend. I just wanted to let people listening know that's filled up, I assume, and that's for...
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I think some people might be interested, but
yeah, I wish I could
time.
Have more people, but for the moment it's difficult. Maybe next time.
Right, well, we hope you come back. Yeah. And the number again is 866-394-6033. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Iman. For having me. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Speaking of the Arts with Candace Walsh of New Mexico Magazine.